This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Let's unpack the big, beautiful bill. Trump was on the Hill today. The coach, Senator Tommy Tuberville, is here. We have more takes on government corruption and other things coming up on I'm Right. Okay. Let's talk about the big spending bill and Congress and the government itself. So, but before we get into Trump being on the Hill today and what he had to say, he's mad at Thomas Massey, and before we get into that, let's talk about where we are, because I actually really, really sympathize with what Trump is going through at the moment. Here's where we are. The United States government is, as you've heard me say many times before, the largest criminal enterprise on the planet. When you take into account the amount of money that flows through it, the amount of arms it possesses, frankly, nothing else comes close. It's a gigantic criminal enterprise. Now, why do I call it a criminal enterprise? On top of the just naked communism and evil things they're doing, it's full of people who are enriching themselves. They have a job in government, whether they are politicians or bureaucrats, and they use their government position not to serve the country, but to raid the treasury, to loot the treasury. You see this over and over and over again. It was most nakedly exposed during Joe Biden's presidency, but it's not like he's the first one who did it. These people get into office or get into whatever bureaucratic job they have, and they exist there to figure out how to bloodsuck money out of your wallet. So everybody's cousin's brother's mother starts a nonprofit that gets $50 million from this and that. And that's just the bureaucrats. Let's talk about the politicians themselves. You see, there's a million old quotes I could go through about how the American people won't be free anymore once they figure out they can vote for themselves goodies from the Treasury. I'm paraphrasing, but that's an old quote. Well, that has happened here in the United States of America. The truth is, in Congress, 435 members of Congress, unless they changed it, 100 senators. And those people, they don't get elected. They don't get reelected by making sure you're free. Securing the border, making sure the country's safe. That's not how they get elected and reelected. They get reelected by sticking their greedy fingers in the public treasury and bringing mass amounts of money back to their states or their districts. That's a fact. And that situation in this country has created where we are now. The United States Congress is not capable of producing a big bill that is anything but horrific. Frankly, I don't think people this evil and dumb, I don't think they could create a small bill that was good. But no matter what, $1.5 trillion? A big bill? You have any idea how much corruption's in there? And maybe I would be more understanding of this if the GOP hadn't once again, all of them, top to bottom, run on balancing the budget, getting the debt under control. We're going to get the debt under control. Really? Okay. When? When's that? I mean, look, I hate to ask probing questions, but all of them, top to bottom, the Trump, the senators, the members of the House, they all talk about the debt, this debt crisis and inflation. I can't believe the debt. We got to get these deficits. Joe Biden's spending. We're going to get it done. Okay, well, you know when would be a great time to get it done? Now. Now would be the perfect time, as a matter of fact, because now you're negotiating what is essentially a budget bill. In fact, this is the time to get it done. Yet we're not told that, are we? We are told over and over again now, hey, we just got to get it done. Just get it through. We don't have time to deal with this right now. We got to get it done. But I do sympathize, okay? I do sympathize. Well, I take that back. I sympathize with Trump on this for a reason. See, here he was today blasting Thomas Massey. Here he was.
I'm a fiscal hawk. I'm a bigger fiscal hawk. There's nobody like me as a fiscal hawk.
Thomas Massey said it has more deficit than Biden did. This bill kind of
because we have to fix the country.
Do you think that Thomas Massey is correct in saying that this is adding Biden most?
No, I don't think Thomas Massey understands government. I think he's a grandstander, frankly. He'll probably vote. We don't even talk to him much. I think he should be voted out of office.
But there are some things there that are just not true, you see. I'm a fiscal hawk. That's not true. That's not true at all. The GOP, they're not fiscal hawks. The United States of America's spending has only gone up, 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 up. Democrat or Republican, United States of America spends a fortune. A fortune. And Trump loves spending. And like every other Republican, he loves pretending like he wants to cut spending. But you can't pretend you want to cut spending and then push for a $1.5 trillion bill that fully funds Medicaid. Come on, you can't. It doesn't work that way. You're saying two different things. It's me saying, I'm going to get in shape. Hey, get me two large pizzas and some donuts. Two different things. The time to cut spending is not with Elon Musk and Doge. Did you know that? Because they love doing that now. They go grab Elon Musk and they put him on a news program. And what's he do? He gets this list. He gets this list of all this wasteful stuff he's found in the government. Hey, did you know we're sending $45 million to tranny some frogs in Guatemala? And we're going to put a stop to that. And we cheer, yeah, stop it. And the GOP cheers, yeah, I love what Doge is doing. Well, Doge can't make any significant cuts. All that money was authorized by Congress. And Congress is about to authorize all that money again. The same people who've been telling you how wonderful Doge is, they want to push for more corruption. What kind of corruption? Well, for instance, here's a great example, you see. I want you to picture this. I just want you to picture this. I want you to picture I have $10 million. I don't. But let's picture that I have $10 million. I got it right here in a suitcase. And I walk into the headquarters of the Gambino crime family in New York City. And I walk into the Gambino crime family and I tell them, hey, fellas, the school in this neighborhood, it's in such a bad state that the faucets are leaking and the floors are bad. The kids need a better school. The kids need a brand new school. So, Mr. Gambino, or he's dead now, but whoever's running the crime family, Mr. Gambino, here is a suitcase of $10 million. Build me a school with that money. It's ridiculous, right? I think you have a pretty good idea how that $10 million would be used. Well, I know this hurts to hear, but handing the United States military $1 trillion is actually significantly worse than the ridiculous analogy I just laid out for you here. The Pentagon can't pass an audit. We just had the second in command of the Navy felony charges. Why? Oh, he's handing out government contracts in exchange for $500,000. Do you think the Pentagon fails every single budget because this guy is a loner? The American military is so full of theft and corruption, it would make your head explode. And again, I sympathize with Trump. I do sympathize because he made promises. He promised, I promised this, no tax on tips. I promised to rebuild the military. I promised that. And what he wants is, he wants all that stuff, just cobble it all in the bill. I don't care whatever else is in it, and just pass the bill so I can get my stuff done. I know how Trump views this thing. I get it. I totally get it. And I do sympathize with it. But handing the United States military $1 trillion when it's completely corrupt is every bit as insane and ridiculous as handing the Gambinos a $10 million briefcase. It is. It's not going to work. You see this? Defense Inspector General just uncovered 8,000 high-risk transactions on government credit cards. Remember when I told you these people? They view the public treasury as a big bank vault for them to loot. Oh, yeah, we got things like online gambling, adult entertainment. I don't even want to know what that means. Online dating, wonderful. Massage parlors, pyramid schemes, you name it, all with your money. So I do genuinely sympathize that Trump and Republicans in general, they want to do things. I get that. They want to get things done. I get that. And in fact, I applaud that. My problem is, why does it have to be like this? Why does it have to be like this? Because this isn't getting things done. This is making things worse. If I'm 350 pounds and massively overweight, I'm going to lose weight. You'd say that'd be a good thing, right? It'd be a good thing. It's a good thing, of course. Well, should I cut my arm off? It'd be a great way to lose weight. Well, that's what this looks like to me. $1.5 trillion funding everything that they've been funding. It basically doesn't cut a thing. And we're told they want to get the debt under control. The time to get the debt under control is now. The time to address spending is now. The time to get all those wonderful DOGE cuts actually implemented is now. Not tomorrow, not next month. The time to do that is now. Why don't all you members of Congress go sit down, come up with a little trim bill, give Trump what he wants? He's the president. Give him his tax cuts, his border security. Fine. But $1.5 trillion without any cuts? What is that? And I actually saw, and maybe you're saying this right now, maybe you're saying, well, Jesse, we can't do things like cut Medicare or Democrats will win in the midterms. What if Democrats win in the midterms? So we're going to continue to fund unfunded government entitlements that are breaking the country because of the midterm elections? Why is that supposed to be some kind of a threat to me? So if we lose the midterms, what's Congress going to do? Pass a big spending bill? All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. I don't know what's going to happen with this bill, but I don't want the stupid thing passed. I think the freaking bill is awful. All right, so we've had a few mask-off moments with these communists, quite a few, actually. Let's talk about that in a moment. Before we talk about that, let me talk to you about testosterone. It's a big deal. Not a small thing. It's a very, very big thing, you see. Men, you need it for your mind. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, Jesse, I don't care about that anymore. I'm not stressing it. I've had my kids. No. You don't understand. You need it for your energy, for your mood. You get down a lot. Maybe sometimes inexplicably down. You're just kind of in a bad mood. You need a male vitality stack from Chalk. Natural herbal supplements. I've been on one for 3 years. Man, do I feel good. Like a different person. Chalk.com/JesseTV gets you a big old fat discount. We'll be back. There are things we're supposed to treat as wins, but when I look at them, I don't see wins. I see an example of how far we have to go. I'm supposed to treat this new Supreme Court thing as a win. You see, the Supreme Court, they're going to allow Trump to deport 300,000 Venezuelans. We have to go to a 9-person Supreme Court to get permission to deport all the barbarians the Democrats brought into the country. That's where we're at. And I'm supposed to cheer? No, I don't cheer. I think we're in a bad spot. Joining me now, Charles Cornish Dale. You probably know him as Raw Egg Nationalist. He has a great Substack, by the way, raweggstack.com. Okay, Charles, I'm supposed to celebrate this. I mean, I guess I'm glad they're leaving, but that doesn't tell me we're in a very good place as a country.
No, I don't think that this is some great win. And in fact, actually, you know, what we're seeing is we're just seeing the deepening of the kind of judicial takeover, really, of the executive branch. I mean, okay, yeah, it means that 300,000 people who shouldn't be in the US anyway can be deported. But actually, is Trump going to have to go to the Supreme Court every single time he wants to do anything, every single time he wants to exercise legitimate executive powers? And it looks like that at the moment, unfortunately. And look, I mean, we've had this supposed win, but not long before then we had the Supreme Court saying, no, actually, you can't do expedited deportation under the Alien Enemies Act. You have to give all of these people, all of these thousands and thousands of members of a foreign, basically a terrorist gang, you have to give them notice, you have to give them due process, you can't get rid of them. And so, I mean, yeah, Trump is still stuck in a very, very hard place, I think, and something's got to give. There has to be, I think, a new attitude towards the judiciary, a much harder line, because look, this is the tactic. It's the tactic that was used during the first less radical Trump administration, and now it's being used again. judicial warfare. They're bogging the Trump administration down in judicial proceedings and running out the clock, essentially. And there needs to be a new way of doing things.
No, I totally agree. I think we need to develop a much more hostile posture towards the judiciary. If they're going to decide we're not allowed to deport barbarians, then the judiciary simply becomes your enemy. That's all there is to it. And Charles, what hits me, and I know it hits a lot of my viewers because they email me all the time about it, is how consistent the game plan seems to be. It's not just America. It's happening in Canada. It's happened in the UK, Germany, France. The elites of all these countries have focused very clearly on bringing in as many foreigners as humanly possible, and they take control of the judiciary to try to protect said foreigners. It's consistent, and it's really evil.
Yes, it is. Yeah, this is a broader phenomenon. It's happening across the entire West. I mean, look, we've just had the Romanian presidential elections, right? The first round was cancelled by the judiciary, by the Romanian Supreme Court, when it decided that there'd been Russian influence over the election, there'd been a Russian intervention. The populist candidate, the pro-Trump candidate, who wanted to bring an end to the Ukraine war and perhaps to reduce reliance on NATO, etc., and restore national sovereignty. Well, it was decided that he was just a Russian toady, and so the election would have to happen again. And there seems to have been funny business again in this rerun of the election too, with a surprise win for the centrist, pro-NATO, pro-Ukraine war, anti-Trump candidate. So, I mean, it's taking place across the West, and they're playing for the highest stakes. You know, this is about the future of the West. This is about the direction in which the West goes. Do things continue as they've been going on? You know, do we get more mass migration? Do we get kind of like closer, tighter, kind of globalist integration? Or do we see a return to national sovereignty as Trump is trying to do in the US? So, I mean, yeah, this is about the future of the West. And unfortunately, the kind of tactics that are being used against Trump and that are also being used throughout the European Union and the wider Western world are very effective. Because unfortunately, you know, even hardline, let's say hard right governments are loath to go against the judiciary. You know, it's a big step to say, look, actually, you know what? I'm not going to take any notice of the Supreme Court. I'm not going to take any notice of judges. It looks like a coup, but of course, the truth is, it's the judiciary, it's the establishment, it's the elites who have actually carried out a coup.
No doubt. You have a great piece up on Human Events about the South Africans and the response from it, and actually, I think that pairs quite nicely with this piece from what's this nutty's name? Ellie Mistel went on TV. He said this:
Black people cannot save this country from white folks. We can't do it alone, right? If white folks aren't going to join in, if white women aren't going to join in, if Latinos aren't going to join in, we can't do it alone.
Charles, obviously, I'm perfectly aware there's a larger thing at play here with these elites. Usually, it just comes down to power and money. But for a lot of these animals, it really just comes down to hatred of white people now. They've been so ingrained with this way of thinking that all white people are evil, inherently evil, that they just feel completely comfortable speaking like this now without any recourse whatsoever.
Yeah, they do. And that's, in many ways, actually, you know, I think it's a gift. I do actually think it's a gift for the mask finally to come off. And that's exactly what's happened with this Africana refugee program. You know, so we all know that liberals hate white people, and that's liberals of any color. It's not just, you know, it's not black liberals, it's not Asian liberals, it's white liberals too. You know, liberals as a species, then their main target is white people. And, you know, bottom of the heap for a liberal in their sort of moral universe, in their moral pyramid, is the white heterosexual male. We know that already, you know, that's well established. But there's always been a certain amount of hedging, and they've always sort of tried to disguise the ultimate goal, which is basically to get rid of white people. But actually now, with this Africana refugee program, then the mask has come off and they're being quite open about the fact that actually, you know, white people don't deserve moral consideration. White farmers are being slaughtered in South Africa. They're being raped and murdered. And the South African government now has passed a new expropriation law, like the law that was passed in Zimbabwe, to deprive South African farmers of their rightful property. It is tantamount to genocide, if indeed it isn't a genocide. You know, it's state-sponsored anti-white racism, which the Trump administration has called out. And so, you know, quite rightly, the Trump administration has offered refuge to white South Africans. Well, 59 of them, 59, you know, not even 60 white Africans, South Africans turned up in the US last week at Dulles Airport to avail themselves of this very generous offer from the Trump administration. And what happens? The liberal media, social media goes into absolute meltdown. You know, social media, TikTok especially, is full of videos of people saying, "We're going to hunt you down," i.e., you know, directed to these South African refugees. "We're going to hunt you down and we're going to make you go back to South Africa because you don't belong here. You know, this is a lie. You don't deserve to be in the US. You have no moral claim to refugee status." And then you've got all of these commentators and talking heads too saying, "Yeah, these people shouldn't be here. There isn't a genocide happening in South Africa. The South African government isn't anti-white." And in fact, one commentator, actually, I forget her name, she said, these people shouldn't go back to South Africa. They should go back to their actual homeland, which is Germany. So, I mean, it's confused. It doesn't make a huge amount of sense until you understand it simply as a hatred of white people. And that is what it is. It's hatred of white people. White people aren't deserving of moral consideration. And so, you know, you can let in an infinite number of third world migrants. Anybody who isn't white has a claim to come to America. But if you're white, no way, not in a million years.
Like you said, a mask-off moment that may have been beneficial in the end. Charles, that was outstanding. You can find his stuff at raweggstack.com. Highly recommend it. All right. We're going to move on. Let's talk to Senator Tommy Tuberville in a moment. Before we talk to him, let me talk to you about putting your money where your morals are. You know, I haven't forgotten about the evils of corporate America. I know you haven't either. Corporate America made the decision after years of communist infiltration to get involved in culture wars, and not on our side. They fight it. Pride Month is coming. Did you know that? Oh, yeah, June's about here, and you're about to get waterboarded with more rainbow filth. You are going to not wish you had AT&T, T-Mobile, or Verizon here in about a week. I don't have to stress. I have Pure Talk. I'm not worried about the month of June because I know I don't fund that garbage anymore. I pay less for my cell phone. I got keep my number, keep my phone, or a new one if you want it. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
In the case of El Salvador, absolutely. Absolutely. We deported gang members. Gang members, including the one you had a margarita with. And that guy is a human trafficker, and that guy is a gangbanger, and the evidence is going to be clear in the days to come. You're
Chairman,
going to see who you went to
defend. Senator,
I'm sorry,
please,
Mr. Chairman.
Secretary Rubio has the floor.
Mr. Chairman, he can't make unsubstantiated
Senator,
comments like that.
Secretary Rubio has the floor. You
Secretary
had your
Rubio
time.
Should take that testimony to the federal
Senator,
court in the United States because he hasn't done it under oath.
Here's another point, okay? There is a division in our government between the federal branch and the judicial branch. No judge in the judicial branch cannot tell me or the president how to conduct foreign policy. Our foreign policy doesn't require even-handedness. It requires prioritizing the interests of the United States.
The statutory phrase says you are entitled to entrance as a refugee if you demonstrate a well-justified fear of persecution.
No, you're not entitled.
So
you're
can
allowed.
You have a different standard based upon the color of somebody's skin? Would that be acceptable?
Well, I'm not the one arguing that. Apparently you are, because you don't like the fact that they're
I'm
white, and that's why they're coming.
I'm just asking you to say that would be unacceptable.
Well, no,
that
I would say that the United States...
a very easy thing
The United
to
States
say.
Has a right to pick and choose who they allow into the United
Even
States.
Even based on the color of somebody's skin.
No one's, you're the one that's talking about the color of their skin, not me.
Pretty revealing moments these days from the Democrat Party. Joining me now, the coach, Tommy Tuberville, senator from the great state of Alabama. Coach, man alive, these people used to conceal the fact that they want to flood the country with third worlders. Now they're really fairly open about it. Maybe I should be applauding them for the honesty.
Well, that's the first time they've been honest. Yeah, see, to be honest with you, since I've been here for 5 years, I've never seen anything like this. But you get a bunch of lawyers together arguing back and forth. Isn't it fun to watch? It's fun to watch them argue about something that I know the Democrats, they're just a one-way street when it comes to immigration. They want everybody to come here, open borders, let them do whatever, pay for everything that they need, give them Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. It's a disaster that's happening in this country, and they're fighting for it. But again, it's what got them beat, and it's what's going to keep all the Republicans in office for years to come.
Why do you put up with this crap, Coach? You don't need this job. You got this great career, this unbelievable resume. You're 5 years in. Man, why don't you go back to Orange Beach and enjoy yourself?
Well, I'll tell you, Jesse, it is, I can't say it's been a lot of fun. The first 4 years, obviously, Joe Biden didn't know what the heck was going on. And we all knew that, by the way. It's not like it was a secret on both sides, Democrat, Republicans. We saw it. We understood it. They tried to lie about it, but they had a ghost government behind the scenes. But we played defense the whole time. I'm really enjoying being on offense with President Trump. He's going right back at him. He's taking on the mainstream media. All these Democrats, they call themselves Democrats. But really, they're just far-left Marxists on the way to communists. That's exactly what they are. But you got a bunch of them that are followers. And it's just unfortunate to see the good ones follow the bad ones because they've got quite a few of the bad ones. But when you have no division in that party, for instance, the Republican side, we have some moderates. We all understand who they are, and we have our conservative group. Well, they don't have anything other than just a far-left group that just follows each other and goes by the party line, and it's gotten them in trouble. They can't tell the truth. American people are sick and tired of it. They about broke our country. President Trump is on the way back of fixing all these things. He's digging himself out of a hole, but it is a big hole that he's been in for the first 115 days.
I'm actually glad you brought up the Biden condition. Hakeem Jeffries, Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, said this.
Seems to me entirely inappropriate that at this moment in time, when President Biden is dealing with a serious an aggressive form of cancer. There are Republicans who are peddling conspiracy theories and want us to look backward at a time when they actually are taking health care away from the American people. No, as House Democrats, we're going to look forward.
Yeah, I get the lies and the political games. I understand all that. But, Coach, it's not a small thing, and it's not just, you know, hilarious internet fodder that we had a president that wasn't functional for 4 years. Who auto-penned all the pardons, all the executive orders? I remember Mike Johnson saying on camera that Joe Biden didn't know about the executive order that he had signed. This is a gigantic scandal and a big deal.
Heaven forbid, Jesse, we look back at the truth. Heaven forbid we do that. They want no part of that. They do not want any part of it. They want to just erase the past, erase the history, and go forward like nothing happened. It was one of the biggest crimes in the history of this country, and we're almost 250 years old, of hiding the health of our executive branch leader, the leader of the free world, who we all knew he didn't have both oars in the water. We all knew there was something wrong with him. I hate that he's got this cancer, but let me tell you something. We as senators and congressmen up here, we have the ability to go to Walter Reed Hospital, one of the best in the world, and go and have a physical anytime we want. I go probably twice to three times a year to have checkups because of, you know, the older you get, the more things you need done with you. You can't tell me that the people behind the scenes either hid it from Joe Biden or they all knew it and yet they just did not tell the American people. And that is a serious crime.
It is an extremely serious crime. Another extremely serious crime is putting your hands on a federal agent, especially when you're opposing what he's currently doing when it comes to fighting crime. And Democrat Congresswoman just discovered that fact. She's in a bit of hot water, isn't she, Coach?
Oh, she better be in hot water. This is turning into a third world country. I mean, when you've got people that's supposed to be have leadership skills and have been elected by their peers, and you come up and you represent our Constitution and United States of America, and you're out there punching and pushing on ICE agents and federal law enforcement officers, I mean, that's a crime. I don't care who you are. You know, you can be Santa Claus, but if you push a law enforcement officer, you need to go to jail. Something needs to be done. But they think that it's okay that they can do stuff like this. And Jesse, we're losing sight of reality in this country. But they try to make their own rules. Heaven forbid we let them change the rules of our country. If you break the law, you go to jail. And I don't care who you are, Republican, Democrat, it makes no difference. We need our kids to understand right from wrong and look at the example that these goofballs are giving to our young kids.
No doubt we do. Coach, as always, I appreciate you very much. Come back soon. All right. Planned Parenthood put out a report, and it's a heavy one. I'll be honest with you. We'll dig into it. We have a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. Before we get to that report, we need to work on you. I'm sure you're doing fine, but we need to work on your sleep. You're not getting enough sleep. Nobody does. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. Most people don't. People toss and they turn and they toss and they turn and then they're groggy all day long and then it's coffee all day long and then they toss and they turn. Why don't you break that cycle with Dream Powder from Beam? I love this stuff. Because it's hot chocolate, which I love anyway. Who doesn't like hot chocolate? Mine is cinnamon chocolate. And it's drug-free. It's got natural things in it. You have a cup of hot chocolate before bed, and what it does, it just kind of relaxes you. It doesn't knock you into a coma so you wake up feeling groggy. You just kind of relax and go to sleep like a little baby every night. You want to sleep like that? Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back. Well, look, the fight for life is ongoing. And we talked about this right after Roe versus Wade got overturned. That was a great moment, but let me give you a little deep, dark secret. Abortions have not gone down. In fact, with the ease of access of the abortion pill, that nasty little piece of poison, abortions have gone up. More than half the abortions in this country now take place in people's homes. A teenage girl's bathroom, it's awful. Planned Parenthood, of all things, released a report saying abortions and government funding of it is at an all-time high. So don't think for a second that we're winning this battle yet. We're trying, just not quite yet. Joining me now, Melanie Israel, visiting fellow of the Heritage Foundation. Melanie, okay, you read through this report. What's in it?
Well, there's not a whole lot of good, but there's a lot of bad and a lot of ugly. As you said, Planned Parenthood has committed more abortions than ever. It's at an all-time high, more than 400,000 abortions in 1 year alone. And their government funding is at an all-time high. They are approaching almost $800 million in government funding. Now, that largely comes from Medicaid reimbursements, but it also comes from other sources like different grants, and a lot of that COVID relief money was able to go to some of those Planned Parenthood affiliates. And so those are some of the top lines, but we can also see some of their other services have been declining. Their contraceptive services have gone down. Their things like cancer screenings and pap tests, those have been going down. And so again, they talk about how they do a lot of these other healthcare services, but really when you start diving into the data, Those services have been trending down for a very long time while abortion keeps trending up. So we can see what their priorities are.
Melanie, is it the abortion pill? Is that why we can't get ahead of this thing, that the second we get something good done, they come up with something to get ahead of it?
100%. This has to do with the abortion pill. I've got some articles at Heritage and Daily Signal where we've got some really helpful graphs to help illustrate this. A lot of people, when they think of abortion, they think of it as a surgical procedure. And of course, for a long time, that's what it was. But back in 2000, the FDA, with some help from the Clinton administration and a very politicized process, approved the abortion pill. Now, that was in 2000. Its popularity didn't really take off. What you saw is under President Obama in 2016, they loosened a lot of the safety regulations for these pills. That is when you see the number of abortions start trending upward. And it's because those pill-induced abortions are much easier, quicker, cheaper for these clinics to be giving to people. They don't have the same kind of, you know, overhead to have to deal with. And then under President Biden, they weakened those safety regulations again. They formally endorsed things like telemedicine abortion, where a woman never even sees a doctor in person, abortion pills being shipped through the mail, which is undermining all of the laws in pro-life states that went into effect after the Dobbs decision. And so once again, you started seeing those abortion numbers creeping up after that Biden administration action. And so all of this, absolutely 100%, it's because of the abortion pill. And these pills are dangerous, I will add, and we can get into that more.
No, let's get into that right now, because these things are marketed, they're sold to women as, I mean, it's like you're popping a Tylenol. Just take a Tylenol and get rid of that pesky clump of cells. But it's a pill that kills the baby growing inside of you. It's not a multivitamin.
Exactly. So, you know, let's be clear. When we're talking about the safety of these abortion pills, they are not safe for 100% of the unborn children that are killed by these pills. But they're also not safe for the women and girls who are taking these pills too. The FDA's own label says that roughly one out of 22 women is going to end up in a hospital emergency room suffering complications. And this is likely an undercount, because we also know that under President Obama and President Biden, the FDA started deliberately not collecting a lot of those adverse event informations that used to the abortion pill providers had to report on when women deal with these complications. So they changed the rules back in 2016 to say, we don't need to know about those serious emergency room visits. Just let us know if the woman dies. That's all we need to worry about. And to be clear, we have reports of over 30 women who have died after taking these pills that we know of. And again, what's really difficult about this is that you have the FDA on one hand deliberately saying, we don't want to collect this data in the first place about those serious adverse events where women and girls end up in hospital emergency rooms. But also, even when those rules were in effect, it applied to the abortion pill prescriber. Now, we can all understand how this works. An abortion pill prescriber will send a woman this pill, and they never interact with her again. When she starts suffering from complications, she doesn't go back to the Planned Parenthood clinic. She doesn't call up the online pharmacy. She goes to the emergency room. And these abortion providers often tell women that if they do have to go to the hospital, say you're having a miscarriage. Don't say you had an abortion. Say you had a miscarriage. And then these ER doctors don't even know, you know, about this FDA system to collect these different adverse events. And so our government, that is charged with our health and safety and being sure that medications are safe for us to take, has for years enabled this system where we don't even know the full extent of the complications, and they're deliberately not collecting information about it.
God, Jesus, so friggin' evil. Planned Parenthood's not just doing the abortion thing. They're all in on the tranny nonsense too, aren't they?
Exactly. So this is probably a little less known. Planned Parenthood, by their own admission, is the second largest provider of this so-called gender-affirming care. And I personally have a theory that they got into those gender services again because of the abortion pill. You can see how the finances would work out. These surgical abortions would be more time-consuming, more expensive, you need more overhead. Well, what happens when you're not having to do that anymore and these abortion pills are much easier and cheaper? Well, my personal theory is that they needed to expand their offerings, diversify their portfolio of what they offer to people, because it was around that time that abortion pills were deregulated that they jumped in on this gender services bandwagon. And so we've got some really helpful charts up at Heritage and Daily Signal that talks about this explosion of services. And what's tricky is that for all Planned Parenthood likes to brag about their involvement, they're actually pretty cagey in their annual report of the exact numbers. So what they do is they have all this different data about their medical services, and they're really specific about these different categories. And then at the very end, they have an other category. And that is where the gender services are kind of tucked away in. And so when we're talking about, you know, gender services in this other category, we don't know exactly what that breakdown is. They claim that they also do things like, WIC services for low-income women and children, other things like that. But based on other publicly available reports and Planned Parenthood's own words, we can reasonably conclude that most of what's happening in that other category is that gender services. And you can see we've got this really powerful graph that it has just exploded in recent years. And that has to do with Planned Parenthood making it a priority, but also Planned Parenthood offering this even through telemedicine. Telemedicine for gender services. They brag about, I think, over half of their affiliates offering that.
Good grief. All right. Finally, look, I'm not a fan of this gigantic spending bill, but I am told that it cuts out the Planned Parenthood money. Does it?
Yes. So this is the other thing that's a little bit tricky. When we talk about Planned Parenthood funding, Planned Parenthood gets federal funding from a lot of different sources. The bulk of it, most of it, is from those Medicaid reimbursements. And so, hey, if we can have a reconciliation bill that says that Planned Parenthood is not eligible to get those reimbursements, if we can make Planned Parenthood a prohibited entity for those purposes, then that is going to knock out the vast majority of Planned Parenthood's federal funding. But again, there's other sources too that we hope to see the Trump administration and Congress look at. And that can also include things like the Title X family planning program. There's some regulations that Trump can bring back from his first term to address that. Planned Parenthood got hundreds of millions of dollars of that COVID relief money, including some paycheck protection loans that they weren't even eligible for in the first place. I know Senator Paul has been, working to try to get some compliance and some answers about that. So it's going to take a multi-pronged approach to ultimately defund Planned Parenthood of all federal funding. But that reconciliation bill would be a huge, huge step in the right direction if that were to actually be included.
Fingers crossed. Melanie, thank you. I appreciate it. All right. We have a light in the mood. Next. All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And this video has been going around the internet, and there have been some really, really ugly accusations lobbed at this woman for the way she drives. Here it was.
Oh, dude. Oh my God. Oh. I'm gonna check on her, yeah. Yeah.
Good?
You all right?
People are saying it's because she's on her phone. She didn't crash into that tree at top speed because she's on her phone. She did that because she's a woman. See you tomorrow.